All right, so first I want to say thank you for, you know, catching my podcast, Real Life, Real Talk. You can find me on all the main streaming platforms that allow podcasts to be played, right? So we're going to get into this, and I got a few minutes because I'm doing laundry. After this, I probably will never talk about this shit again. Okay, number one. Number two, in no way, shape, or form am I trying to discredit churches. In no way, shape, or form am I trying to discredit anybody. I'm just talking about my experience. So I had someone ask me, you know, why do I hate churches? Or why do I hate, you know, Christians or something like that, they said. And I just want to, you know, talk about that. Because I don't hate Christians. I don't hate the church. I was, you know, church hurt and blase, blase. But I had to learn how to forgive and move on for me. And yeah, I do still talk about it from time to time when it comes down to people trying to throw their religion on me. Mm-mm. I don't like the religion part. Because people become so holy that all they know how to do is judge you, right? It's never anything else besides judging you and criticizing you. They call it correcting, but their way that they do it is not correcting. But that's another story for another time. Anyways, let's get into it. I'm gonna start off by saying I grew up sort of kind of in the church, right? Like my grandma, God rest her soul, when I was like 8 or 9, I went to go stay with her in South Carolina. And she used to make me go to church every Sunday. I would go to a Baptist church, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, every Sunday. It didn't matter if she was sick or not. I went every single Sunday. I was on the church choir. I was an usher. You know, I know about going to church. Okay. I know about God and reading the Bible. I keep my relationship close with God. I'm a sinner, but I do pray and I read the word and I meditate and you know, I fast whenever I need to. I do what I need as a necessity for my flesh and to keep me spiritual. Over the years, after I got older, I stopped going to churches. Like when I was in foster care, I had a foster parent who was a pastor, right? So, you know, of course, you always in church with that as well. And then I went from, I think that was like a tabernacle. And then I went to a holiness church. So I went to Baptist Tabernacle Holiness. I think that's it. The last church that did it for me was the Apostolic Church. It did it for me. And I'm not even going to go as far as to say it was the church. It was the environment. The people who called themselves family. Now, again, like I said, before I get into this, this is no way in shape and form. I'm not trying to discredit anybody. I'm not trying to belittle, degrade, talk down on anybody, nothing like that. I'm speaking from my personal experience. And this is why I don't go to the church building anymore. Like when I die, don't have my funeral at a church. Have it outside. Have it at a beach and throw my ashes in the fucking, you know, ocean. Seriously. In fact, I think I need to put that in a will. Anyways, so yeah, let's talk about it. Let's get into it real quick. Now, before I started going to this church, I was just trying to get my life right with the Lord because I had been going through so much stuff. I was homeless. I had got locked up for drugs and I was going through so much stuff that I was like, all right, it's time for you to get your life right with the Lord. In this process of getting my life right with the Lord, of course, I'm still a sinner at that time. My kids were little, like, walking babies, you know, little babies. And I met this guy off a date nap. And the crazy thing was I had met him before a while back when I was talking to the dude that I ended up getting locked up for. So, I don't know why I thought it was a sign, but I was like, all right, cool. You know, maybe this is a sign for me to try to date a different type of dude because the dudes that I was used to dating were drug dealers. Just be honest. So we get to kicking it, and he invites me to his church. His church is the Apostolic Church. And I'm not going to get into the gist of all of that because it's really not important, right? Just know that I was going to this church for like 3.5 years. So they knew me and they knew my kids. The shit that bothered me about this whole situation was first, the girl that was supposed to, or the girl that quote unquote, she had got a prophecy, she had been prophesied to, right? And I don't mean to use quotations, sorry. She had got prophesied to, her and the dude that I had ended up getting married to, that they were supposed to be married. They were supposed to get married. That's what their prophecy was. And this was like a year and a half before I even stepped into the picture. I'm gonna be honest. The only reason why I got married is because I was looking for stability. I was thinking maybe this was a safe choice. So I'll take all the blame for me rushing into the marriage, because deep down inside, something wasn't right. And I should have known that. And I should have paid attention to the signs, but I didn't. I was too busy trying to find a stable environment for me and my kids, thinking that that was going to be a safe and stable environment. On top of that, he said that he heard from the Lord that I was supposed to be his wife. And I don't know how true that was. But unfortunately, it was not true because we're not married anymore. All right. So anyways, let's get into this. Going to this church, I thought I was going to get, you know, healed, like get a place to be safe, a place to be healed, a place where I can call home, a place where me and my kids can feel safe. And if we fall short, we have somebody to call on because they're quote unquote supposed to be family. The first year me and my husband or ex-husband got married, he cheated on me with the same girl that was his ex-girlfriend, the same girl who said that, you know, they were supposed to be the ones that get married according to the prophecy. I didn't find out about this until someone at the church spilled the beans. Because she told somebody at the church, because mind you, they all have grew up sort of kind of together, sort of kind of, or they've been in fellowship way before I came along, right? Like they were still probably in high school when they started fellowshipping together at this church. So it got out that this was the woman that my husband cheated on me with, and the street me wanted to fight. But I was trying to turn over a new leaf. So I was like, I ain't gonna fight this girl in this church. But if she come over to my house, I'm gonna beat her ass. You know, because she knew. Like, she was threatened by me since the day I walked in the picture. Okay? And she was still in love with him. And apparently he was still in love with her. And that's cool too. You know what I'm saying? I just was the rebound chick. It literally, that's how it ended up being. All right, so they found out, everybody found out at the church. Oh my God, because nothing is a secret. And so they just still let her keep coming to the church. All of us still came to the church, same church. And we were supposed to be, you know, working on forgiveness, fasting, trying to renew our vows and this, that, and the third. And none of that worked. It didn't work. It didn't work because the following year, he goes and he cheats again. Now, mind you, I don't blame nobody but me because I stuck in this situation. I stayed in the situation. I could have left this shit the first year, but I stayed in it because I'm like, no, I want my marriage to work. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to keep going to church, even though this bitch is still going to this church. Ooh, excuse me. And I have to keep looking at her every time. And you can say, oh, don't pay her no attention. You're here for the word. You're here for, you know, to get yourself right with the Lord, and that is absolutely correct. But when you can't help but to see, it ain't but a few, like a handful at the church. So you can't help but to see this person. You can't help but to fellowship with this person because y'all are in the same congregation. Okay? All right. Keep up. All right. First year. That was what? 2013? 2 months or a month after we got married. 2013. 2014, he cheats again. Not just with her, but with some other people at this point. And I was like, okay, so it's got to be me, right? At this point, it's got to be me. And I really lost it. I started losing it. I started gaining weight. I started getting depressed. I was having, you know, symptoms of a stroke. And it was just a whole lot. My blood pressure was up. I started back smoking cigarettes. I started drinking wine heavily. Like, because I was like, I don't see no other way. Because if I'm praying and I'm fasting, I'm reading my word and I'm doing my part, but he's not doing his part. And then, to top it off, he had people who were against me. His friends, his mother, they were all against me. They were wanting, all of them collectively loved this one chick that he cheated on me with, his ex-girlfriend. And it really put me in the bind that I was fighting this battle by myself. Like, I had no one by my side to help me fight this battle. So then, you know, we got it together. We went to another church thinking that was going to help. It did not help. Now, mind you, all in this whole process, we're paying tithes, we're paying offering. He's taking most of his check and giving it to the women in the church and blessing the pastor and the leaders and all of this. Our lights go out several different times. Now, I'm the one keeping a stable job. He's switching jobs because he said the Lord told him to do this and the Lord told him to do that. I supported him. When he wanted to start a t-shirt business, I supported him. I took my school check, bought him his equipment, bought the stuff he needed to start his stuff, to start his, you know, start his business. But, you know, they won't tell that part, because I know they won't tell that part, because the ex-girlfriend at this time was still in his inbox. Oh, if you were with me, I would be promoting your business. I would be doing this, that, and the third. Your wife ain't doing nothing. All she do is complain and this, that, and the third. Mind you, I had a right to. He was cheating on me. And I wasn't the best wife in the world because I was still learning. I didn't have a mama and daddy to teach me this shit, but I was still learning. You know what I'm saying? I would call people up, ask for advice on certain shit. I was trying. I would make sure, you know, try to cook, make sure I try to keep the house clean, make sure I try not to nag him. If he wanted, you know, ask anytime, I would give it to him. That didn't never work, because no matter how much ass I gave him, he still found a way to go on to a platform and buy videos. Spend our money that we had in a joint bank account on, you know, the chubby girls online. And I'm like, if you're into that, you know, I can do that. We can just call each other on the video. I was down to do some freaky shit. Call each other on the phone, pretend to be somebody, and go in a different room. We can do that shit. But he never wanted to. So I didn't hold that against him either. I was like, all right, well, you know, he's got a problem. I got a problem. I like weed. I like fighting. I like drinking wine. So I'm not going to judge him for that. But the fact that you're spending all our money on some bullshit when I could do the same thing is some bullshit. All right, cool. So what's that? 2014? Right. All right. 2015. Oh, let me break it down just a way. I got to run it back. Mind you, I told y'all our lights was getting cut out. Like, our lights would get turned off every now and then because one of us came up short. When that happened, we would go ask the church to help us. The church would then say, here, we'll give you this, but you're gonna have to pay us back. Baby, listen, before I get into that part, all the money that we have been blessing other people with, all the tithes and offerings that we have been paying, because this motherfucker would give his whole fucking check to the church, and then we'd be somewhere with our lights turned off, or we'll be somewhere without food, or we'll be somewhere without something. One time we got kicked out of our first crib because we came up short on the rent, because I was the only one working at the time, because the Lord told him to go follow his dreams. So he went and followed his dreams. All right, cool. We got kicked out of this crib, ended up having to stay at a hotel. Then we had to go stay with a friend. This is how I know that the Lord is on my side every single time, all the time. I found the person in Gastonia so that we can go rent this crib from. It was a 2-bedroom for like, I think $4.95 at the time, or $5.95, one of the two, cheap, right? This is 2014-2015. We get this crib, he immediately starts being depressed. And it was because he was too far in Gastonia. He was away from his family and his friends and the people that were in his ear. And I was okay, and I was content being in Gastonia because I was away from folks. You just can't pop up at my house. Because over where we stayed at in Charlotte, everybody could pop up at a house. Over there in Charlotte is where he cheated on me with his ex-girlfriend at his grandma's house. God rest her soul. Because she died like a year or two later after that. And she knew nothing about it. So we moved to Gastonia. Also, in the midst of that, moving to Gastonia, we're still going through some bullshit. Because he's still cheating. And if he wasn't like physically fucking other people, he was texting, accepting nude pictures and videos, sending nude pictures and videos, because he wasn't ready to be married. And I get that. Like I said, I take the blame for that because I rushed into the marriage. I wanted to be stable. I wanted to be committed. He was not ready, and I rushed him into it. I will take the blame for that one. I hold myself accountable for that shit because I caused that on myself. And I also will take accountability for that because the date, I'm going to rewind it back. The day that we got married at our wedding, mind you, I only had like 4 or 5 people that I knew that were my people that were there. Everybody else was his people. We're at the church, you know, where you light the candle. We lit the candle. The candle went out the first time. Lit the candle again. The candle went out again. My cousin say it was my grandma telling me not to get married, and I should have fucking listened, but I didn't. So, because I didn't listen, I went through the shit that I went through. Anyways, I'm gonna get back to the point of the church. So, now, the first vehicle that we got together was a lemon. It was garbage, but we got the vehicle. Anyways, it was like a Nissan something. It might have been an Altima. I don't know. But it was a small car. My big ass was getting in the small car looking like Retribution. So, he got in an accident with that car. We got the shit fixed and tried to give it to somebody else, sell it to somebody else for them to finish paying to make, you know, make the payments. I found a whole nother car for us somewhere in Rock Hill. We went and got that car. This is how I know God is on my side. I went and got that car with my money, with the checks that I was making from the job that I was working for like 2.5 years already, or at least a year and a half. We got this vehicle, moved to Gastonia. I lost that job because of something. I think mentally I was going through some shit, or my Wi-Fi was fucked up. It was something, the reason why I had lost my work from home job. And so I ended up getting another job right after that, working at a call center in Charlotte. Well, I'm like, we got a car so I can drive back and forth to Charlotte. So one day we spend forever and a day at the church, and then we get out of church and we're going to Charlotte and we got in an accident. So the radiator in this car got fucked up. So now we no longer have a car. Mind you, we're still making payments on this car. So I go and look for the shit to go get this car fixed because no one else is going to help us. So I have to do what I have to do. I get all the stuff to get the car fixed. Instead of us going somewhere to get it done, he decides that he wants to try to fix it. With him so-called wanting to fix it, the car keeps overheating. So it was like, we could really, you know, you have to cut it off every now and then, sit and wait for it to warm up again or cool down again, and then crank it back up. The car would just cut off on this. It was some type of circuit or a sensor or something. I just couldn't figure it out. Anyways, I'm at work one day and the car gets repoed from the house. And that started the snowball effect to everything else that we had issues with. So eventually he's telling his friends or his people that he's not happy and he doesn't want to be here anymore. And the same ex-girlfriend is still in his inbox, leaving my kids at the house by themselves, all kinds of shit. At this point, I was okay with working on Sundays because I didn't care about going back to the church anyways. Why I didn't care? Because they didn't give a fuck about me. They didn't give a fuck about my kids. They can sit there and pretend that they did, and they can sit there and tell you that they did, but they did not give a fuck about me nor my kids. No. Mm-mm. And I'm about to tell you why I know this for a fact. So anyways, we got the car repoed. I'm trying to get rides back and forth. Now, mind you, I'm willing to pay gas money. I also need a babysitter now because he no longer lives with us, because I told him to get his shit and get the fuck out. Because I saw the messages that he had between him and his ex-girlfriend. And I'm like, you're still in love with her, so go be with her. I am obviously in the way of you two being together, so go be with her, right? And I forgot to tell y'all. Another reason why I knew his mama was against me was because she didn't give two fucks either. And when I said something about her son cheating on me and I'm about to get a divorce, well, do what you gotta do. And I will. Because you raised him. So that falls on your ass too, right? That's what I wanted to say. But this boy was grown. He could make his own decisions, right? Anyways, bring it back. Lost the car. We getting ready to lose the crib. He's no longer living with me. And now I lost my job in Charlotte. So now I got to find another job. But the way that God works in my life, I was never without a job for too long. I ended up finding another job right in Kings Mountain where I met my very good friend who I could catch a ride with every day. Now that we caught up, he is with her, the ex-girlfriend. He's staying with her or whoever, and he's calling himself trying to get back in my good graces by bringing me flowers and all kinds of shit. Now, I did try to go to the church a couple of times after he left, but it was just not the same. The people was not the same. The feeling was not the same. The environment. It could have been me having resentment and anger and hatred in my heart. I will say that, because I probably did. You know, after all the shit that I've been through. And it's the funny shit is everybody knew at the church that what was going on. But they still allowed this young lady to come back to the church. They still let us come back to the church. We didn't have no type of counseling, no nothing. And we didn't have no example of a successful marriage because everybody else at the church was going through something with their marriage. And I'm not judging because I don't judge. So there's no point in me, you know, judging, but it's just, you don't have a perfect example. There's no good example. Not even from his mama. Not even from my parents, who I didn't even grow up with. But nobody had a perfect example of a perfect marriage. With an exception of maybe his grandma. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. So anyways, and I'm talking about his rich grandma, because she was cool as fuck. She helped with the wedding. She helped buy my dress. She helped us get into the first crib. She helped out a lot. She did. And she even tried to accept me and my kids. She did. So I would never, never knock that grandma. That's the grandma on his daddy's side. His daddy did not like me. His mama didn't care for me. Whatever. Okay, anyways. So I don't know. Oh, yeah. So after trying to go to this, church a couple more times, I was like, eh, the feeling's not the same. I can tell they're not for me. I'm just not gonna go back. But I was trying to keep my job, so I was asking one of the ladies from the church because she babysit my kids. During this time, I had caught a case with CPS because he left my kids at home and they went and told the schoolhouse. So I had a lot of shit going on at that time, right? Now let's get down to the nitty gritty of why I know that these motherfuckers did not give two fucks about me and my kids. I lost my crib a few days before Christmas. And I started spiraling. Like, I really started spiraling. Like, I got to the point where I wanted to kill myself. And the only reason why I didn't kill myself is because my kids ain't had no fucking body. I still tried to be a good person, you know. I tried to continue having faith. I tried to continue praying and reading. It just seemed like none of that shit was working. This was... 2016. Yep. I started spiraling. I even went as far as to have another boyfriend living in my house before we lost the crib. Before I lost the crib. Before I lost the crib, my ex-husband, at that time was still my husband, got his ex-girlfriend pregnant. The same girl that they were supposed to be married. The same girlfriend who been in his inbox, oh, I'm gonna kill myself, I still love you, this, that, and the third. The same girlfriend who faked the hugs with me at church, faked like she liked me at church, but was sleeping with my husband and in his inbox. Knew that we were married and disrespected our marriage. Him too. So it's on both of them. And whoever else knew, because it was other people that knew. He got her pregnant. And this was right before I lost my crib. So that's when I knew shit was finally not for me. And I really wanted to fuck everybody up. I did. And that's when I knew I couldn't go back to that church. Because if I had went back, I was going to cut somebody or I was going to beat somebody's ass. Like, I literally had visions of me stabbing, cutting, beating, fucking somebody up. Literally. I'm no lie. That's how I knew it had consumed me too fucking much. So now, okay, we lost the crib a few days before Thanksgiving. Me and my kids had to go stay in a hotel. I couldn't call on nobody. I ain't had nobody. Right? Even the ex-husband, because at that time we separated. So separated husband, he was not doing what he could to help me. He didn't give two fucks. He did not care. Now, he had done got him another car, you know, and he was living with whoever he was living with. It was none of my business because I didn't give a fuck. But then he come out, he want me back, and he missed me and all this kind of shit. At this point, I didn't want to be with you anymore. 3 years of this bullshit. And I stayed all 3 years thinking that it was going to work. It did not work. And the church knew. They didn't give two fucks either. We at this hotel, I damn near tried to kill myself. Couldn't call on nobody from the church. Hold on.